As we look forward, we see that Easter is on the horizon, and Easter is a big deal in the life of the church. Easter is a big deal for all of us. Historically, the church has set time aside prior to Easter to contemplate what Jesus means to us, so that we don't get up to Easter and we get a day to celebrate the resurrection and we move on as if it's just another day. Traditionally, that's been the season of Lent. Maybe some of you come out of church traditions where you did things during Lent. It's not yet. It's coming up this month. But it was a time set apart for that purpose of giving our sense, our lives, a chance to slow down just a little bit, to begin to anticipate what we are going to celebrate when Easter arrives. Now, we're not doing a full-on Lenten service here today, but I'm going to say that we're going to be doing something along those lines. In the next few weeks, actually a couple of months, as we move towards Easter, we're going to be looking at the life of Jesus through the Gospel of Luke. Many of you know that the Gospels in your New Testament, if you don't know this, you should take your Bible and open it up and have a look. The Bible is broken into two halves. We know this, right? There's two parts. There's a larger part, the Old Testament, and then after that follows the New Testament. But at the beginning of the New Testament, there are four books that are unique because they all talk about the life and times of Jesus, his stories, his teachings, the miracles, his birth, his death and resurrection are all found only in those four books. Those are the four Gospels. We refer to them as Gospels because they tell the story of Jesus. Before those Gospels is the Old Testament, which is the times before Jesus. All after them, starting with the book of Acts and running through the end of the book in Revelation, are all stories, are all about what the church did after the life of Jesus. But those four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, form the basis of our understanding of who Jesus was, what he did, and why is it important for us today. So, a couple of things about Luke that makes it unique for us, just to break it down a little bit for us, is this. And before we jump in, this is an opening salvo. It's our jumping off place. Because I want to encourage you to, if you brought a Bible today, go ahead and open it up. I want you to find the book of Luke. It is the third of the four Gospels, okay, so it's easy to find. It's there at the beginning of your New Testament. If you're doing your Bible on your phone, go ahead and find the Gospel of Luke. If you're playing a Candy Crush, go ahead and turn it off, okay? But if you're looking for your Bible on your phone, go ahead and bookmark it, the Gospel of Luke, because we're going to be spending time in these next 2 months in the Gospel of Luke. And I would encourage you also throughout the week to take some time to read more about the life of Jesus through the perspective of Luke's Gospel. One of the interesting things you will find as you read your New Testament, especially the Gospels, is that of those four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, that'll be our study point for a while, and John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke have a lot of similarities. In fact, sometimes people have come to know them as the Synoptic Gospels. Now, aren't you feeling smart? You can write that in your bulletin, and you can go around and drop this word on people, and they'll say, wow, that is an educated Christian right there. Anyone know what synoptic means? Go ahead, Adam. Seen together, because these three are seen very similarly, that they're going to have, they follow the same timeline. They're going to tell many of the same stories. Sometimes even the language is identical, one gospel to the next. The Gospel of Mark, for example, shortest of the four gospels, almost all, 90-some percent of the Gospel of Mark is going to be found in either Matthew, Luke, or both as well. And so if you're reading through the Gospel of Mark, but you've already read Luke or Matthew, you're probably going to say, this sounds a little redundant, because it has a lot of those similarities. But they tend to also, at the same time, even though they look all very similar, they also bring some different features to them as well. So let me tell you real quick about Luke. Luke is... about half of its gospel is found in Matthew and Mark, and about half of the Gospel of Luke is unique to Luke. That's what we're going to focus on. And so if you're reading through over the next few weeks, if you want to read through Luke, go ahead and read. You might see things that you're familiar with from other places, but Luke is going to have some very unique aspects of Jesus that I think is important for us to see. It's natural for us to begin to blend things together. How do I say this? It's natural for us to begin to blend our gospel stories together to kind of harmonize them or make them one. Here's an example. The stories of the birth of Jesus. Both Luke and Matthew tell that story. Both Matthew and Luke tell completely different details, but in our minds, we tend to harmonize them. Most of us, when we think about the Christmas story, what do we think of? We think of Matthew's star, Matthew's arrival of the Magi. We think of the threat of Herod. We might think of Luke's angel's announcement or the shepherds racing to the manger or Luke's census of Caesar that brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. And we kind of blend them all together, thinking that it is all one. It's not. They're two different stories. They're telling about different aspects of the same story, but they tell them from completely different perspectives. But we tend to want to harmonize. It's just a natural thing within the way we think. It's a natural way for us to begin to put it together. But each writer had a specific audience in mind. Each writer had his own unique background, and it shapes the way he tells a story. For example, Luke is the only non-Jewish writer in the New Testament. In fact, I'll go further than that. He's the only non-Jewish writer in all of the Bible. Luke was Greek. He was a physician. He was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. We see him as he writes. We see him come up a couple of times in the stories of Acts, as well as Paul mentions him through numbers of the letters of the New Testament. So he was a significant figure in the New Testament time, though he wasn't by birth a Jewish individual himself, which makes perfect sense, and we'll begin to see how does that affect his storytelling and what he brings to the table for us. Okay, I want to jump over the Matthew stuff because we already talked about Matthew. This is another little detail. Do you know that Luke is the only gospel that came with its own sequel? Anyone know the name of the sequel to the Gospel of Luke? Yeah, the book of Acts. There you go. Oh, good. Yeah, you guys are dialed in already. Yeah, Luke wrote two stories. In fact, we're going to be talking about that a little bit more as well. And the book of Acts, which tells the story of the early church, was the sequel to Luke's stories. Over the course of the next 2 months, we're going to begin to see some of the distinctives that come out. Again, what we'll focus on in our messages is going to be primarily those parts which are unique to Luke. Not that the other parts aren't important. They're important enough that all Matthew, Mark, and Luke include them. But what did Luke have to say that is unique to his storytelling? That's what we want to focus on. We're going to find a couple of things that Luke tended to capture something of a very compassionate Jesus. We're going to see this in the way that he highlights stories about Samaritans or tax collectors and sinners. How Luke has a special emphasis on Jesus' compassion towards the poor, much more so than Mark or Matthew, and how women play a larger role in Luke's gospel as compared to Matthew and Mark. Not that women don't play a role in those two gospels, but Luke brings more into play, both not only about the plight of women, but also Jesus' elevation of women. And we see that in Luke's gospel kind of as a uniqueness that he brings to the table. What is it that Luke is trying to say? Maybe it has to do with the fact that he didn't come out of a Jewish background, that he came from that Hellenistic Greek background. But he comes and he brings a little more different view on who this Jesus is. I think in recent months we've seen this Me Too, the hashtag Me Too movement going on, which gives people who've maybe not been harassed an opportunity to be able to come and stand alongside those who were or are and say, I see you. You know, your story is heard. You are of value and you matter. In a way, that's what Luke does with Jesus, that he says that Jesus saw, that he heard, that he said that those whose plight would often be overlooked mattered. And it meant, and he meant that in ways that touch, again, especially towards the women who were overlooked, the poor who were invisible, to the sinners who were looked down upon, and to the outsiders, such as the Samaritans, who didn't have any place in this Jewish context. Again, I said he was a physician, so he brings a lot more to it. But we're going to take a look at how the gospel begins. And so let's go ahead and begin. If you've got your Bibles open or your app is open, we're going to start in Luke 1 and beginning at verse 1. I want to hold on here just to begin, because this is an interesting way, probably that's a unique way that Luke opens his story. Verse 1 begins like this. Luke says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word." So before we go on, what do we know so far? What is Luke saying? Somebody. This is a weird way to start. It's not very exciting. But this is how he begins this greatest story about the greatest individual ever on the planet Earth, Jesus Christ. And he begins with this. What is he saying? Yes, somebody else knows this story. They told it to Luke. And many people have taken the task of trying to hold on to the story, gather the story, tell this story. Many who are eyewitnesses have access to this, but Luke is letting you know that he is not one of those. Luke is like you and me. We're coming into this having not personally touched Jesus, not personally heard Jesus, but somehow now have come to know that these stories are true. And so Luke is doing this account. Go ahead into verses 3 and 4. "With this in mind, since I myself," speaking of Luke, "have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of things that you have been taught." So we see here Luke's plan as he's opening up this gospel is that he is setting out an orderly account of things so that we might know. In fact, not just we, he is writing it to a certain individual. Did you catch that? This is the only gospel that's written to an individual. Who is that individual? Anyone want to venture a wading into a little Greek name reading? Theophilus. How many of you know a Theophilus? It's not a common name any longer, okay? It's not a common name. But we know he is excellent, most excellent, as a matter of fact. And that is kind of a cool thing. So Theophilus, who is Theophilus? That's kind of my question for us today, because it helps us understand where Luke is going. The fact that he gives him a title, most excellent, probably says that he is someone with rank. He is someone with an official title. The only other time that terminology is used in the New Testament is when Paul addresses the governor, Felix, and then later the governor, Festus. He refers to them as most excellent Felix, most excellent Festus. And here, Theophilus is referred to as most excellent. So probably someone of political rank or at least wealth. Some have suggested that maybe he is one who has set Luke out to go in and gather the story, that he is a person of means, and so he is underwriting this investigation. He is the one who is giving him his advance so that he can go and write this story and bring it back. Some have suggested that maybe he is a friend of standing that Luke is trying to win to the cause. He is trying to tell him the story of Jesus, and he wants to do it in a way that he would understand. Some have even suggested, and this is kind of a stretch, so stretch with me, okay? Put on your thinking caps here for a moment, that they've looked at the name, and because it's not a common name, but it is a Greek word that could have been a name, but the word is broken down. If you understood Greek, you would understand this. It breaks down into two pieces, Theo and Philos, okay? Theo comes from the Greek word theos, theos meaning... Anyone? God, right. And that's where we get words like theology, the study of God, or any of the theisms, the beliefs in God, monotheism, belief in one God, atheism, belief in no God. All those words that have that root talk about something about God. And then there's Phyllis, and that's not Phyllis with a Y. Anyone may know someone by that name. Philos comes from the Greek word phileo, which is the word for love, okay? We get that, and we see that in other places, connected with the Greek word adelphos, philadelphos, and you have the city of brotherly, because adelphos means brother, so city of brotherly love. You get philanthropy, the love for humanity, love for other people, all those kinds of things. So philos, or philos in this case, means one who loves. So you put them together, and what do you have? One who loves God. Now that is either an amazingly fortuitous name for one who has a gospel written and addressed to him, or it is a brilliant little code that if you read Greek and read the first readers read this in Greek, they would have seen it easily. But you and I don't see it. We think it's just some odd name that no one names their children any longer. But maybe what Luke is trying to say is, I am writing this gospel, this story, this account of Jesus for you, excellent lover of God. And who might that be? That might be you, Katie. That's right. That might be you, Jose. That might be you, Carrie. That might be you, Michael. This is a sense of, maybe Luke is saying this message is for all of us. Anyone who is hungry for a little bit of knowledge about what this is, I am writing this story for you. And this story is your story because your nickname, if you so choose to take it, is Theophilus. If you are one who's pursuing or in love with the God of the universe. This is where Luke jumps off. He is going to tell a story that is for all of us, not just for those of standing, not just for those of means, but for all of us. He is talking about a compassion which Christ has, and we will see in these weeks ahead, of something that says that God is there for those who are meek and those who are downtrodden. When he talks about God standing on the side of the humble, even as he opposes the proud, yeah, I don't know which team that is, but I know this, that Jesus represents that in spades, and especially the Jesus of Luke's gospel is going to say that he cares about us and he cares about you. One little thing, and I want to jump because I want to wrap up today. I want to say this is our jumping off place. Begin reading ahead. Begin reading along with us. Begin to look at this and say, who is this Jesus that Luke is describing for me? And I want to come back over and over again. And we are going to become the Theophiluses of our day, those who Luke is writing for, to remind us again of the story which Christ has opened. Again, I said the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's a fourth gospel, but it follows a different time frame and focuses on different ministries, different acts, different teachings. That's John's gospel. In three of the four gospels, the synoptics, Jesus concludes most of his earthly life with a celebration of the Last Supper. In John's gospel, it doesn't refer to that. John's gospel talks about another aspect of that evening. He focuses on foot washing. Okay, we'll take a show of hands. How many would like to do Last Supper this morning? How many want to do foot washing today? Okay, all right, then we'll go with that. Okay, we'll go with that one. That is a synoptic gospel thing. That is one of those things that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, not that John didn't say it didn't happen, he just didn't focus on it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke do, and it's one of the interesting parts of the Matthew, Mark, and Luke thing is that, and all of them said, this is my body. But only Luke adds this phrase, that is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And I don't want to make too much out of that, but again, it reminds me that this picture of Jesus that Luke is describing is a Jesus who is interested in you. All of them say, this is my body, but only Luke reminds us that he said, that is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So this morning, as we do and prepare our hearts for communion, I want you to know this, that as you come, that I'm glad we have Luke's gospel. I'm glad we have it because it reminds us that God cares for you. That when we break the bread and we offer it, it is not just his body, but it's his body that's broken for you. And so you're invited to come and partake. You're invited to come and enjoy. You're invited to come and receive, because as Christ offered himself on the cross and was broken, he did so with you in mind. And so this bread, broken for you, and the cup poured out also for you, for the forgiveness of sins. And we are invited to come and receive these elements of God's love for us and be reminded day by day that it was done for us. Father, I thank you for these moments. We pray that you would meet us here, that as we come, it wouldn't be something that is just done, but we would be enveloped in your care and compassion and desire to be near to us. God, we thank you for the reminder of your love displayed through Jesus upon the cross. But we thank you also for your love displayed by Jesus through his life and how he loved. So bless us this morning as we come. Help us to remember and help us to know that this is for us, your love, provided and given. In Jesus' name, amen.